Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the 2014 ACB Candidates Forum. My name is Denise Colley, and I am chair of the Board of Publications of the American Council of the Blind. And co-hosting the Candidates Forum with me this evening is the other member of the Board of Publications appointed by President Charlson last year, Mr. Ron Brooks. Ron, would you like to say anything? Welcome.
Well, good evening, everybody. It's almost good morning. It seems like we've been here a while. But I just wanted to say welcome. We are excited. I want to say welcome to the people out on ACB Radio. I know you're a cast of thousands, and we're looking forward to interacting with you as well. We are running just a few minutes late. The good news is that gave us 15 more minutes to come up with really hard questions for all you people back up there on up there in front. And you know, I'm personally a person who's not afraid to take the unpopular position to be the voice of hard questions, even if they don't make any sense. So be prepared, and I'm going to turn the microphone back over to Denise.
Thank you, Ron. This evening, we are going to be hearing from our candidates running for the ACB Board of Publications and the ACB Board of Directors. For the ACB Board of Publications, we do have five slots open this year. Directors. I'm sorry, directors. All right. Five slots open. Four out of the five of those slots are actually being sought by individuals who've held those positions before. Mr. Alan Peterson is seeking re-election for his second term on the Board of Directors. Mr. Pat Sheehan and Mr. David Trott are seeking, election for a term because they last year were elected to run to fill the last year of an unexpired term. Mr. George Holliday is seeking his second term on the Board of Directors, and Ms. Katie Frederick is seeking her first term on the Board of Directors. On the Board of Publications, we have our three elected positions to fill. Mr. Doug Powell is returning to us after filling an unexpired term this past year. And our two new individuals running for positions on the Board of Publications are Ms. Judy Wilkinson and Mr. Tom Mitchell. And we are going to begin this evening with our Board of Publications. We thought this might be kind of fun. And what we're going to do is ask them questions. We have timed questions that we will be asking them. Once we have completed our questions, then we will open it up for a couple of questions from you out there in the audience and one or two questions from those of you out there listening in ACB Radio Land. And then we will move on to our ACB Board of Directors. So that is how we will proceed for the evening. All right, so the first question is, you have 2 minutes to answer this question, and the question is to take 2 minutes to introduce yourself and to summarize the experience and qualifications you will bring to the Board of Publications, that you believe you will bring to the Board of Publications, and I'd like to start with Mr. Mitchell.
And I always thought that the last would be first or something like that. Good evening to all of you in the audience in the room tonight. I appreciate talking to you. And also to you in the listening to the ACB radio on the internet. It's a joy to be able to talk with you. I have served before on the Board of Publications, two terms in the 90s. Previous to that, I have been involved as the editor and producer of what used to be called the ACB newsletter, the UCB newsletter in my state of Utah. I was editor and producer of that for several years, and before that, an even older publication called the Utah Courier. My professional background, I am a graduate of communications from BYU, Brigham Young University, and for some 13 years was a public affairs technician with the Bureau of Reclamation, a U.S. agency having to do with water and power. While there, I was editor of its house organ. I was also in charge of helping to write press releases and newspaper articles and special other materials. I also wrote and narrated several audio projects and film strips for that agency. After that, I was help desk coordinator for the Utah State Courts and spent my final 3 years employment as a proofreader for the Utah Schools, a Braille proofreader for the Utah Schools for the Deaf and Blind. And these, all of these, I think, have given me a broad experience in journalistic and publication-type work. And also, having served on the Board of Publications before, I have to contrast what we have today with what the world was then, because certainly now our means of communication are so much more, are so much different from what they were. So these are going to be challenging times, I think, for all of us. But I'm looking forward to listening and learning and to trying to help bring the materials that you all want and need to you in a timely manner.
10 seconds.
And that completes my statement.
Judy?
Do I get a signal as to when to start or just start?
Good evening. Welcome. I'm welcoming myself to you and introducing myself to you. I am from California. In that state, I hold the office of secretary, and I am the proud editor of The Blind Californian, our quarterly newsletter. I'm beginning my fifth year as its editor. We have about 1,000 subscribers. I'm also the president of 2 statewide affiliate chapters. During my working career, I was a community college English professor for nearly 30 years. And in that capacity, I chaired many committees, was president of the Senate a couple of times, was on every hiring committee there ever was because I was the only disabled faculty member, wrote a number of grants for them. My strengths are editing and writing. I have not published myself, but I have edited several published authors. I've edited everything from my husband's tax book to a friend's book about cancer to another friend's book about her Martha Stewart-style book about dressing your dream bed. And I have written a number of articles, of course, for The Blind Californian. I have also written a number of pieces that I have read at various conferences and conventions. That is absolutely where my strengths lie, are in editing and writing. That is it.
Mr. Powell.
Good evening. My name is Doug Powell, and I'm from Falls Church, Virginia. And I was an English major. I also graduated with an English degree, prepared to teach about a zillion years ago, no, in 1975. But when I came out, there were no teaching jobs at the moment. So after working 2 years laying out newspaper ads for Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey Circus, I tell people I worked for the circus, and everybody thinks clown, first of all. But and then I went with the National Education Association for 18 and a half years. And part of my duties at NEA was to write promotion materials for books for teachers. And so I also bought the printing for those advertisements. And so I come to the Board of Publications with a background in buying printing and trying to figure out the most effective way of presenting information on a page and getting the most out of it. excuse me, as far as my NEA, as far as my ACB history, I am the immediate past president of the Old Dominion Council of the Blind and Visually Impaired. I have been for three years, I believe, on the Leadership Training Task Force. I've also been on the Rehab Issues Task Force for several years, and the last 2 years I've been the chair of that committee. And then
30 seconds.
I've also, as part of the BOP, been the BOP liaison to the PR committee. But mostly, you guys elected me to the Board of Publications last year to fulfill Denise's unexpired term. So I've actually had a year's experience grappling with the policy kinds of decisions that we make on the BOP, and I think I've really enjoyed it and would like to do it again.
All right. Thank you very much. We have a second question, which I'd like to share with you. If you could each, and we will actually this time start with Judy, and then we'll go to Doug, and then we'll go to Tom, so the first shall be last. Please take 1 minute to share the top three areas which you believe the Board of Publications should focus in the coming year. And again, we'll go ahead and start with Judy.
I'm very interested in having us do more internal sharing of media with each other. I was very impressed when one of the chapters, the Houston chapter, won the award for Best Newsletter of the Year. I would love to see more of our state publications share with what they do with each other. I'd like to read some of the stuff from the state newsletters in our forum and elsewhere on
seconds.
Our publication. Second, I feel really bound to say that I'm a firm believer in Braille, and I still think we could do more to get Braille back, and I would like to do that. I also need to really expand our social media exposure, and I intend to learn how to do that and look forward to that.
Okay, thank you. Doug.
This is Doug. First of all, I think we need to continue to work on making sure that we're doing that we're using the proper format for the print and Braille versions of the Braille Forum, because that is the most expensive thing that we do, and so if we can be effective at putting more information but making it readable, then I think that's an important project. Another important project is to define more clearly what the e-forum is, and to make sure that people know that the information is available to them in other formats other than electronic formats. Excuse me. And the third thing I think we ought to be working on, I can't think of anything offhand.
Ten seconds?
I can only think of two.
Oh, all right.
With all of the marvelous technology that we have, I think it's great that we can reach such an immediacy of communication with it. But sometimes I think that there are people who, for one reason or another, cannot use a computer-assisted device, an iPhone, a tablet, or whatever. They don't even have computers. I sometimes feel that in our rush to make sure that we get everything electronically out there, that we forget that those people are there. I want to make sure that those people who cannot use an electronic device are not forgotten. And second, I am in full agreement with Judy. I would like to be sure that we get Braille back as much as we can and look at all the options that are out there for producing Braille, and also possibly encourage those who do take the Braille form in hard copy but who are able to use it electronically.
10 seconds.
Give up the hard copy and use the electronics just for the sake of finance.
Thank you. All right. And our last question for the Board of Publications, and this question we will begin with Doug and come back the other way. What is the message that you believe we need to be sending, and how do we send it to reach younger people, specifically our students, young professionals, and families?
That's a toughie. I think that their issues are not very much different than ours. I think that there are some issues. One of the things that we can do is make sure that organizations like the ACB Students has input into, you know, has a place to publicize what they're doing. But in some ways, I think we need to. I don't think that their issues are a whole lot different than most of our issues.
30 seconds.
Being blind is no different. No matter what age you are. But if there are people who would like to tackle about issues of concern,
10 seconds.
I'd be very willing and open to hearing about them and publicizing them.
I really believe that the message we should give to our students is really the message that we should give to younger people, rather, is really the message we would give to all. Because I don't think their issues, I'm with Doug, I don't think their issues are any different. And I think what we really need to show them is that the American Council of the Blind has resources that can help them in many aspects of their lives. If the American Council of the Blind doesn't have the resources, we know where the resources are.
30 seconds.
We can guide them to the resources that they need, either to help them finish their school, either to help them get used to being blind, if they're advantageously blind for one reason or another, or just whatever to make their lives a little simpler and a little easier. If we don't have the resources, we know where the resources are. And I think that's the thing that we really need to do, is to show the people that we've got what they probably need.
Time.
I had the pleasure of visiting with the students yesterday, and when I said I wanted to learn all the social media, one of the students said she'd teach me social media if I'd help her with her term papers. I intend to immerse myself in the social media. I think this is how we communicate with the younger people and the young professionals. We need to let them know we have a history. We need to let them know that the wars didn't get won accidentally, and that the things they take for granted weren't always there. Rather than beat them up about it, we need to make it fun. We need to take advantage of our apps and take advantage of our web pages and our blogs.
30 seconds.
And our Twitters and our tweets and our those and the LinkedIn and things, to let the students know we're here. And we need to let them know about jobs. We need to let them know that we have these resources. We need to, I think, blog, tweet, FaceTime. And that's the way we need to go to get the younger people and to let them know what we're here for and what we've been doing. Thank you.
Thank you, all of you. Now it's your turn, audience. Do we have anyone who has a question? If you have a question for the Board of Publications candidates, would you please stand and we will get the mic to you. And we will take two questions. This is a quiet, don't let them off this easy. This is a really quiet audience. Oh, good. We have two people.
Good evening. Albert Anderson from Chicago. Anyone or all can answer this question. What advice would you give to people at the state level working on the newsletters of their state affiliates to make them more effective to reach out to people in their state, to give them a positive image of their state organization and make them want to learn more about it and get involved with it?
Good question. Who'd like to go first?
I've got the mic in my hand.
All right, Miss Judy.
Is there a time limit, Madam Chair?
1 minute.
Okay. As editor of the Blind Californian, I face this issue all the time about how to get more material, how to get people to contribute. We had 9 first-time contributors last year, and we have a limit on our space, and so we really have to work hard to fit in material from our people. But we have gotten 9 new contributors, and we did that by using our listservs, by sending out notices, by phoning people, by speaking at our chapter meetings. And we are also we have also done a survey, just like the National has done, to find out what people want from our publication. So we are in the midst of revamping. I think we all need to think about how to revamp our publications to bring them into the 21st century. Because a lot of people don't read magazines, don't read newsletters. They read snippets. They read little bits. They read pieces. They read, you know, their headlines. So we need to show them how we can use those pieces better. Thank you.
Okay. Who'd like to go next? Oh, okay. Tom?
I think we need to focus on people. Focus on the people that are in your organization. Tell some about not just your active people, but tell some about, find some people that are not necessarily so active or that maybe live far away from your centers of population and talk about them. Find out what you can about them, what they do, how they live, how do they do this, how do they do that, and focus on people. I think that's a good way to start. I think once you start focusing on the people and showing that we know that people are out there, then I think that may help you get your newsletter started more, and you may be able to start using ideas from these people as to how they do this, that, or whatever. So I think a focus on people is really the big important thing. Doug?
Yeah, I think I would encourage a state affiliate to beat the bushes also. And also, take a look at what are the issues that people are grappling with. You know, I mean, they come to our meetings because they want support and camaraderie. So and advocacy. So you know, the newsletters ought to reflect that. All three of those things. I'm the chair of the Rehab Issues Task Force, so I have a particular interest in making sure that people who go into the rehab system get the best, get the most out of that experience.
30 seconds.
And the more experienced people can help them do that. But and have articles about that in the newsletters. Same thing with camaraderie. Same thing with social events. So I think we can make sure that the newsletter editors are going out to the people and asking for what they're interested in hearing about. And then also asking them to write about their experiences.
At the risk of being labeled heretical, given the goal of that I think most of us share of shortening the convention in a couple of years, discuss, if you will, the merits and detrimental aspects of either doing away with the caucuses or the candidates' forum.
I'll take that.
Who'd like to start that question?
I'll take that one on.
All right, Doug.
It's Doug. I have concerns about that. It's kind of like when people talk about reducing taxes. Okay, so you want to pay less money. What services do you want to get rid of? And I think we have this same concern about the convention. Everybody wants it shorter. I mean, I'm as tired as anybody, if not more so. But I think that what we do here is so important that I'm not sure where to cut it.
30 seconds.
I think the candidates forum that goes out to ACB radio is one of the most democratic things we do. So I don't want to cut that. And the caucuses are where states decide how they're going to vote on the important issues. So, you know, I'm not sure that those two things are the things that we need to cut. But I don't
seconds.
Know who, you know, I don't know where it is that we want to do that.
Who wants it? I might as well. This is Judy. Here's where I think we can take advantage of ACB radio. If I were shortening the conventions, I would move the candidates forum much earlier, have it broadcast live, but have opportunities before convention for candidates to share with the ACB radio audience in, say, an interview format, what they plan to do and what they're interested in. But definitely move the candidates forum earlier. And then if states choose to caucus, they would have the information. In a sense, we say the same thing at every caucus, many of us do, and it may be better to broadcast more far and wide earlier so that we don't repeat ourselves,
seconds.
And then the states could go off and decide what to do. And if they had further questions, perhaps there could be times then when we could follow up and have the states come to us at maybe for an hour or somewhere late, a little bit later in the convention, and then the states could ask us questions individually then.
Boy, am I going to get myself in trouble on this one. I think if we want to shorten the convention, I am in agreement with Doug. I think the caucuses are important. I think this forum is important, though I really don't know how many people are out there. I think one thing that would probably be good to do is, if we want to show the importance of this forum, is move it into a general session. Or perhaps into an afternoon session. I think that would be an important thing to do. I would also like to see us cut down on the number of resolutions. Now, I know that there are those, on especially
seconds.
On the Resolutions Committee, because I've been there, who will say, well, we have to have all these, you know, people want to do all these things. But sometimes it just isn't feasible to do everything in 1 year. And frankly, sometimes I think some of those resolutions never get acted upon. So I'd like to see us cut down on the number of those. I would also, frankly, like to see, and here's where I'm going to get in trouble, some of our special interest affiliates cut down on the number of events that they sponsor and produce. I see where some of these affiliates have 8 and 10
time
different things.
Thank you, all three of you. Mr. Turnbull, do we have any questions from our radio audience?
So far, no.
No. You guys are just making it way too easy for these candidates. All right. Hearing none, then we will move on to our questions for our ACB Board of Directors candidates. And once again, we will have questions that are either 1 or 2 minutes. We will be timing you, and we will, excuse me. Oh, God. And we will start our first question with Mr. Brooks, and Alan.
She's all choked up. Let her have a minute here.
Very good.
Boy, I've been waiting to do this all day. Okay. Yeah, she's fine. She's all right. So this first question, we're going to start with Alan, and we'll just work our way on down the list. So first, take 2 minutes, each of you, to summarize your understanding of what your role will be on the board of directors, if elected, how your skills and your experience suit you for this role, and your top priorities. Your top priorities for the board that the board should. Let me try this again. We're both kind of choked up over here. take 2 minutes to summarize your understanding of what your role will be should you be elected to the board of directors, and how your skills and experience suit you for that role, and what you believe the board should focus, where the board should focus its efforts, and why.
Sure.
And again, we'll start with Alan, and this is a 2-minute response.
Very good. Thank you. Thank you. And welcome to the audience and to our listening audience on ACB Radio. My name is Alan Peterson, as Denise said. Actually, I am Dr. Alan Peterson because I did get a degree as a doctor of veterinary medicine from the University of Minnesota, specialized further in veterinary pathology and microbiology, went to NDSU as a faculty member, where I found out that I had retinitis pigmentosa, lost my sight within 5 years. But my strengths, I believe, are fundraising and advocacy and membership development. I believe that fundraising is extremely important to our organization. I serve as our financial chair for North Dakota Association of the Blind. I've served in that capacity for 4 years, and for those 4 years, we've shown a steady growth in our fundraising. In membership, I am very involved with encouraging and developing our membership within our region. I worked with the Wyoming affiliate, the Montana affiliate, and was instrumental in getting the Montana affiliate started, the Montana Blind and Low Vision Council, as well as I've been working closely. Okay. Advocacy, I've been involved with advocacy at the state level, served as our legislative liaison for 20 years, been coming to ACB's legislative seminars for the past 20-some years, and very passionate about advocacy. I believe it's so important. I guess I don't know if I'm out of time, but those three areas are I believe are that my strengths and where I would focus my attention on as serving another 4-year term on the board. Am I out of time? I don't know who's next.
We'll go next.
Okay.
All right. Good. Thank you. My name is Pat Sheehan, and I'm running for a position on the board of directors. Currently, I'm working for the federal government for the Department of Veterans Affairs. I work as a director for Section 508, implementing Section 508 within the department. I think my role on the board is twofold. I think when I joined the board to fill out a term last year, I got involved in a lot of committees. The Gold 2 Group, the audio description project, the investment committee, transportation, environmental access. I wanted to learn what the board was doing and who was working and what they were doing and what they hoped to accomplish. What I found out is that we had some good people with good plans. I think that my job is to help execute those plans, work with good people that know what they're doing, Dan Spoon being one of them, Carla Rushville being another one. So I think that helping to execute the plan as they have put it out, I think, is going to be important. I think, personally, as a board member, and this is what I've tried to do, I think it's important for us to be able to reach out to the affiliates, work with the affiliates if they would like us to engage with them to help create a win-win situation. I think it's important for ACB to hold board members accountable for being able to show that they can get the job done, that they can help produce a win-win situation. We do this for committees. I think we should start doing it for the affiliates also. Thank you.
David?
Thank you. I am David Trott from Talladega, Alabama. And I've been advocating for blind people since I was 18 years old. I've served as legislative liaison for our state affiliate for many, many years now, and as well as serving in all offices at the state and local level except for second vice president at the state level. I've served on the board of directors before. This is not my first time, so I'm familiar with the issues that we face in ACB. I am also a low vision person, so I, you know, do understand there are several degrees of low vision. And what a lot of you may not know about me, I also know what it's like to be blind. I had a little accident when I was a teenager, and for a few months I was totally blind, so I know what it's like. I do read Braille. I understand the Braille system and the needs of Braille, and also read print. So, you know, in those areas, I'm well qualified. My background is mainly in finance and agency work, working with rehab and all, designing different programs to elevate people from the sewing type environment and giving them opportunity at a professional level in call centers, medical transcription, document management, and that kind of thing. So, you know, just a love and passion for ACB, I think, is probably my greatest qualification. Oh, I got 30 more seconds. Gracious. let me talk about Pat a minute. No, I do understand that, you know, I'm concerned about the budget of ACB. I have fought for years and will continue to fight for years to come if elected till we have a balanced budget in this organization. That is my one pet peeve with ACB, and I won't stop till I win or die. Thanks.
Katie?
Yes. Good evening. My name is Katie Frederick, and I am from Columbus, Ohio. I believe that my role on the board, especially because I am seeking this position for the first time, is to listen and learn, but also to not be afraid to offer my opinion when requested or necessary. I think my past involvement with ACB over the past 10 years, when I attended my first national convention in Birmingham, Alabama, and began to learn about the democratic process that is the American Council of the Blind, I think from that experience, carrying that forward to becoming more involved in my state by serving as a board of directors member, our state secretary, and now currently as my state's executive director, I believe that my experiences with these, serving in these positions, will better equip me to be a board member. Also, nationally, I have advocated on behalf of ACB by attending the legislative seminars and mid-year meetings in Washington, D.C. And advocacy is something that is crucial to people who are blind or visually impaired. I believe that membership is something that is important to focus on, and I will do my best to continue to maintain relationships with students and young professionals to get those demographic groups to maintain their involvement within ACB and to continue to keep them active within the organization.
All right, and George.
Good evening. My name is George Holliday. I am from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I would like to start by saying that I am in the immediate past president of the Pennsylvania Council of the Blind, where I held that position for 5 years. I have been president of one of the largest chapters in Pennsylvania, and currently the president of a newly created chapter in Pennsylvania. By working with the board for the last 4 years, I see three areas that I would like to address, and I have been addressing them in Pennsylvania. Currently, I serve on the membership committee for ACB. I feel that is a strong area that we need to address further, not just getting members for ACB, but assisting affiliates in increasing their membership. Advocacy is another issue. I am currently the chair of the Pennsylvania Advocacy and Governmental Affairs Committee, where we're addressing issues locally, not just with going to Washington. Finance, that's a huge area. I currently work, I'm working with the Resource and Development Committee, where there are several subcommittees that I am working with. So these areas, these three areas, without these three areas and strengthening these areas with ACB and the affiliates, we need to put more stress in those areas. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Take 1 minute to share your opinion on the type of relationship ACB should have with its state and special interest affiliates. How should the ACB board help to ensure that these relationships are respected and maintained? And I think we're going to start with Pat.
Thanks.
Because he's such a
Thank
friend
you very
of
much.
Mine.
All right, let's go for it. You know, I just said a few minutes ago, I think this is important. I started 6 months ago. I think everyone knows that GDUI has gone through a difficult time. I think they're ready to turn the corner. And I offered myself as a board liaison to GDUI if they wanted me, because I think what you need to do is create a win-win situation. I've talked about this in some of the caucuses, and they said, well, do you come in to dictate to us, or do you come in to talk to us? And I say, absolutely, we come in to talk to you, because I don't know what your problems are. My job, my goal, is to walk into your house and to be your guest, to learn what your issues are and to create that win-win situation. You learn from us what the board does. You can ask us questions, and we learn from you what your issues are. And if I don't know the issues, which I probably won't know, I'll come and ask you, research it with my very intelligent board member friends here and officers, and get an answer and get back to you.
Thanks.
You know, I think, except in the instance Pat spoke about, I think we have an excellent relationship with our affiliates. I do think that it is our job, really, and responsibility to listen, to realize when you have needs and try to fulfill those needs as best we can, but to be communicative with you. And it is your job as affiliates to communicate with us when you have issues that you need help with or if you need a fundraising help. I think we just need to be sure that the doors of communication are open between the board and the affiliates, and there's no belief that, you know, the board is way up yonder and we're way down here, because that's not true. We're made up of you. We're all us.
Thank you. Ms. Frederick.
But you see, Mr. Trott took my answer.
Oh, well.
I do agree that communication is key, and I think perhaps, you know, as board members, we do need to listen and learn, and also keep in mind as well that we are ACB members by virtue of paying our membership first and foremost. You know, being a board of director, yes, there is a certain level of responsibility and accountability necessary for that position, but that does not make a person more high or lofty than any other. So I think keeping communication flowing between affiliates and board members, perhaps through messages in the publications of ACB and email lists, is an effective way to ensure the relationship can continue.
Thank you. Mr. Holliday.
Boy, this is a touchy one. You know, I think about this a lot because I've had different chapters around the country mention to me and say that ACB is the parent, and they're telling us what we should and shouldn't do. But, and I say to them, and with ACB, we need to work together more as a family and to communicate with each other more, because being a family, we can help each other grow. When our chapters grow, we grow. So we have to get with our affiliates and let them know where and how we can help them and how they can help us.
Thank you. And Mr. Peterson, all the way down on the other end.
Very good. Well, thank you for the question. I appreciate the question because I believe membership is so critical to our strengths as an organization, national organization. I believe that we need a person in the national office that handles affiliate relationships and the strengths, and help them strengthen their organizations. And turn that, when we have strong affiliates, we have a strong national organization. I agree with Pat. I believe that we need to have a contact between the board and our affiliates. And the board should have a responsibility in that regard. I believe that there should be a document on affiliate expectations and responsibilities, and I think that needs to be developed. I think we need to get these weaker affiliates into our to come to our conventions, and I believe that we should work on that. Yes. Thank you. Thank you for the question. I feel strongly about it. Maybe you can tell.
All right. Okay, well, let's take this question and... So we will ask and invite Katie to take this question first. Take 1 minute and describe how you personally have assisted the ACB or a state, local, or special interest affiliate to increase its membership or to reach out to prospective members. How will you translate this experience into membership development activities at the board level? And again, we'll start with Katie.
Thank you. I am currently involved with the Facebook, with the social media committee of ACB, active on the Facebook team. And I think we are reaching new and prospective members that way by sharing posts and sharing activities that are going on within ACB and letting people know who we are and what we are doing nationally. Also, at my state level, I am responsible for, I update our Facebook and Twitter pages there as well, keeping our state members abreast of what's going on. I have also served on my state's membership committee, and one of the things that we try to do in Ohio is get members from local chapters involved on our state level, so that they feel a part of ACB Ohio and ACB.
Thank you. George?
Thank you. I have served as chair of the membership committee for Pennsylvania Council of the Blind several years. And one thing I've noticed, yes, it's great to have a newsletter and send out to people. It's great to have meetings and invite people. It's fantastic to have social media. But one thing I've tried to encourage chapters in Pennsylvania is to start to create more social activity. Creating social activity and doing things out in the public where your public will see what you're doing, that's a huge way of bringing in new members.
Alan.
Yes, membership. I've been on the membership committee for a number of years, as I said, I worked with the Montana and the Wyoming affiliate. And I've made trips out to each of those organizations. I believe I made 4 trips out to Montana and 4 trips out to Wyoming. They're a long ways away from eastern North Dakota, but I feel that it's very important to reach out to those affiliates and help strengthen them, because they are struggling. And I believe strongly, I believe very strongly, that we need a Spanish-speaking, we need to reach out to the Spanish-speaking public, because that's something that I believe that there's an untapped resource there. We need to get involved with the Spanish-speaking community. And also the young people and the older people. Older people comprise a large segment of the blind population. We really need to focus on that. We need to strengthen our affiliate that works with older people.
Pat.
So I don't know why Alan just started talking about older people and then handed me the mic. There you go. I don't know if there's the correlation there or not. But anyway, let me go in that direction. One of the things that that I think that that we would do in the state of Maryland, kind of interesting state with the NFB there, is we work through our conventions, and we work through our state convention to try to bring people in, I think, as most states do. But one of the things we found is that in reaching out to the senior population, we work around issues, I think, that are critical. Issues like transportation, where they want answers, and then recruit them as we work with those type of committees, transportation being one, access to shopping centers, that sort of thing, paratransit being another. We find we get a lot of people that are interested in what we do, who we are, and then we invite them into our organization. It seems to be very effective, seems to work. If we're providing results to those individuals, then they can come to our chapter meetings, and the chapter meetings are usually not very intense. I think they feel needed and wanted. So we are doing a lot of focusing on the senior population. Thank you.
Last but not least.
Me?
You're the only one left.
Oh, I guess it is me then. I believe in working membership all the time. I'm kind of an ambassador for ACB, because everywhere I go and I meet people, I talk to them about the organization. I've always loved ACB. I've never looked anywhere else. So I've always recruited. And I believe that you ought to have a 30-second speech ready at any time that you can give on an elevator. And I did that actually in this hotel when a guy asked me, picked my badge up, and he asked me what I was a board member of and if it paid. So
30 seconds.
I believe that any time that you can go out and talk to any group of people, and those of us at any level where we travel, whether you're on vacation, whether you're on business trip, or even just going to the grocery store, if you meet somebody new, you need to tell them about, you know, if they ask you about your blindness.
10 seconds.
You need to speak about ACB.
Thank you. All right. For our final question, we'd like each of you to take 1 minute and describe how you personally have assisted ACB or a special interest affiliate to increase revenue. How will you translate that experience into effective fundraising activities at the board level? And let's start with Mr. Holliday, and we'll go back the other direction.
Okay. Well, one thing I've done, I took a little bit from ACB. When ACB started the auction, Pennsylvania had started to do a silent auction. Anyone and when ACB went to the live auction, we went. But we advertised it publicly where it got the public involved. And having chapters locally doing auctions and a great event for chapters or doing bowl-a-thons. And things, ACB doing things out in the public is helping by doing things twofold. You're looking at membership and you're looking at bringing in funds.
Thank you. Ms. Frederick.
Yes, I am learning a lot about fundraising. As I previously mentioned, I began serving as my state's executive director this past December. And coming into the nonprofit industry from the federal government has been an interesting experience. And I am doing things within my affiliate, such as joining the Ohio Association of Nonprofit Organizations, as well as the Association of Fundraising Professionals. And I believe these, by joining these organizations, it will not only help me network for my affiliate, but also for the local chapters of ACB Ohio and ACB nationally.
Thank you. Mr. Trott.
Anytime I approach fundraising, I take the we approach. It's not I, it's not me, it's we. We in Talladega, for example, turn our city, its biggest memorial park, into a giant flea market. That may not sound like much, but it is an excellent opportunity to be an ambassador for ACB because we have people from all over the city not only involved in this but working with it, and we have anywhere from 500 to 2,000, 3,000 people come through that park in a day's time, and everything in that park is related to ACB. We do these kind of things, and this is just one fundraiser I could mention, and it's we, because it takes we. It's not me. And any time that you take the we approach, most of your fundraisers will be successful.
Thank you. Mr. Sheehan.
Thank you very much. About 4 or 5 years ago, we started doing regional conventions. And by the way, Denise, thanks for this question. It's a doozy. We started doing regional conventions. We did that because we had a bunch of states, Virginia, D.C., Maryland, West Virginia, Delaware, that had smaller conferences, and we wanted to combine the conferences, one, so we could look at membership, regional issues, political stuff like that, but two, also so that we could fundraise and get more exhibitors in. And we felt that what we ended up with was more membership, I think, as George said. We ended up with a pool of money that we were able to distribute back to the affiliates, which I thought was good. I see this happening in the leadership conferences that are used now. I think it's a very good model to have. We plan to do this every other year or every 3 years. I think a regional conference is a good thing to have.
Thank you. Mr. Peterson.
Thank you for the question. I am helping the Montana affiliate get started. I helped them get their documents in order. They encouraged them to get their 501c3, get their approval from the state to be a state organization, a nonprofit organization. And I've been following up with the Wyoming affiliate to make sure that they have their documents in order so that they can fundraise, basically. And I've shared with them what we've done as far as fundraising in North Dakota. And we've been successful in North Dakota. We have a very successful walk. We reach out to the charitable gaming community. We do a lot with we do a lot with the Lions in North Dakota. They support us tremendously. And I send out a letter to the Lions twice a year to let them know what we're doing.
Great. Thank you. All right. If we have any questions from the audience, would you please stand, and we will get a microphone to you.
Coming. Good evening, candidates. I would like to ask you, it's a membership-related question, and that is, what are some things that you have done and would like to do at the board level to reach out to minority populations such as African Americans, the Hispanic population, and populations within the blindness community such as those who are deafblind?
Who would like to begin?
I'll start.
Oh, he's a brave person.
Yes. Well, as I said, we need to reach out to the Spanish-speaking community, and we need to have a publication that's in Spanish so that people that read and understand Spanish can understand what ACB is all about. I think we need to also reach out to other minority communities, the deaf and blind community for sure, and we need to have strengthen our Braille and other forms of social communication so that that we reach the young people in those communities, the minority community, wherever they exist.
Thank you.
You know, Ray, I think that's a really good question. And I would say within the state of Maryland, I probably say that we aren't doing enough. I think that what we do within the state of Maryland to reach out to individuals are pretty much using the standard techniques that I think everybody else uses. We work through the libraries. We communicate with the library groups. We certainly make sure that we have the documentation in a format that's usable by individuals with disabilities, regardless of their background. We work through certain transportation committees, particularly in the area of paratransit, where you see a lot of disabled people, getting our message out that way. But I certainly think, Ray, that we could do a better job. I think if there are strategies out there that can help, I think, in the state of Maryland, I certainly would like to bring them back. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Trott.
You know, that's why we have different board members. This is really not my expertise. I guess if I was going to look into the things I would do, I would approach the Multicultural Committee and discuss with them what they felt like the needs was and the way that we needed to go. And that's really all I can say on this one, to be honest.
Thank you. Katie.
Thank you, Ray, for the great question. And I think it is an issue that we do need to address. And as Pat said, I think in Ohio it's an area where we could improve. I know we have worked with the Ohio Association of the Deafblind. We used to have one of their members was a board member, and I think we can do more to partner with that organization. Also, I did hear that there will be an expo of the deafblind here at this hotel in a couple of weeks, which I did not know. And so I think it could behoove ACB to begin to partner with other organizations to increase awareness with them and let their members know that we exist and what we do. Thank you for the great question.
Thank you. Mr. Holliday.
Yes, as a member of the ACB membership committee, the membership committee has put together a subcommittee to look out into the community and the membership and to bring in members or bring in individuals on the subcommittee to start and develop policy and procedures on inviting the Hispanic community. In the Philadelphia area, we use the library services and the Bureau of Blindness and Visual Services to send out notices to invite individuals to our events.
Great. Thank you. Great answers. All right. We have a second question.
Yes. Steve Mendelson here. Thank you for this opportunity, and thank you all for your willingness to serve. Much of our discussion this evening has been concerned with inward-looking organizational matters, membership development, affiliate relations, funding. These are all very important and very timely issues. But I'd like you to broaden the discussion a little bit and have each of you talk about what you take to be the major issue facing people who are blind or visually impaired society today, how well you think the ACB has it been in effectively grappling with that issue, what could or should be done differently, and what specifically is the role of the board in dealing with the issue you identify.
Wow. Yes, 1 minute.
I don't know. You don't have any hair.
What?
Hey, I get to say bad things about David now. There's a lot of questions there. I think I could look at. I'm not sure how well I'll answer this, but I could look at a lot of things. I could say transportation's an issue, environmental access is an issue, currency is an issue. I think one of the things we need to figure out is what is ACB. And one of the questions that the advisory board is asking is, why do we join ACB? What makes ACB different than any other organization? Maybe that's the question we're asking here. What's the role? What should we should be doing? And one thing that I feel strongly about is that we have a group of people within ACB that can help us define who we are, what we do, and answer those four questions that you just gave me. When I came into this organization, it was Paul Edwards. And it was who could inspire me, and that's the reason I'm up here today now. People like that who can articulate the message, and articulate the message not only to our people, but also to private industry, and get people motivated to do the work. I think that's one of the keys that's out there, and we need to take advantage of people like Paul and others who can communicate. Yes, sir.
Mr. Trout.
Thank you, David. Okay. You know, I think... one of the biggest barriers that we have in this area right now is that we've become complacent. When I started advocating years and years ago, you know, we couldn't even get a Braille writer, and we fought for these kind of things. And now you have an app that'll do this and an app that'll do that. We have products that come to us with speech built in or being able to enlarge the screen, that kind of thing. I don't think that we look at enough at issues locally and at the state level to keep our membership fired up enough to work to advocate for themselves. And I think it could be a serious stumbling block for the American Council of the Blind in the future. Oh, I've got 30 more
seconds. You got 30 more seconds.
Great. You think about it. When I went to college, I got a tape recorder and, you know, print books. They paid for me a reader. This is great and wonderful. But if you can't take notes for yourself, and I literally had to fight two semesters to get a Braille writer, we don't have those kind of things anymore. So, you know, we're fixing to have them again, but we really become complacent, and I think that's the biggest danger among the blind right now.
Thank you. I'm going to hop over the two on the end, and I want to go to Mr. Peterson.
Great. Yeah, I don't know if I have the right answer, but I'll give you an answer. Employment in the blind community and the training that we need to become independent is so critical. I believe it's something that we need to address as an organization, and I believe it's something that we desperately need to be on top of, and that's what I believe is so important to us as an organization. We need to address this, and we are the voice of people who are blind and sight impaired, and that should be our number one priority: blind services and employment, no doubt in my mind.
Thank you. All right. Ms. Frederick.
I don't believe we can say there is one issue that needs our attention. I think we have several issues, and I think we do need to continue to educate the public about our needs and our issues. For example, with the use of Apple products, iDevices, Android tablets, these are mainstream devices that have graciously and thankfully, yes, been made accessible out of the box for us, and it's an amazing experience for people who are blind or visually impaired. But I think we need to continue to educate the public on the importance and value of making their products accessible and advocating for that and letting them know that, look, yes, this is helpful to people who don't have, who are blind or visually impaired, but also to those who may be losing their sight later in life or due to other eye conditions.
Thank you. And Mr. Holliday.
Yes, ACB over the years has advocated for legislation. Legislation has been passed. We continue to advocate for legislation to provide products for the blind community. But at the same time, like Alan mentioned, employment. Yes, employment is very important, but at the same time, if money is not provided for these individuals, for the individuals to be able to go to college, to be able to get an education, and to be able to acquire equipment, to be able to work on this job, where do we go? At the same time, we still need to encourage those individuals to want to be able to get out there and work and learn how to use the assistive technology devices that are available to them.
Thank you. Mr. Turnbull, do we have any questions from our ACB radio audience?
Yes, we do, actually. We got one.
Yay.
From Richard Rowetta. And his question is, what do you, this is for all of the board, what do you see as one of ACB's greatest vulnerabilities in 2014, and what should be done to address it?
These are great questions. Who would like to begin? Yeah. David's brave. He'll take it.
Never let it be said that I'm not a member of a great democratic organization, so I'll step out. You know, I know we've harked on it a great deal, but I think that it's twofold, and they work together, and I think it's membership and finance. And if we don't take and put a hold, get a hold of both of those and move forward, we're going to hurt as an organization, not just in 2014, but in years to come. You cannot go through life. We've got to balance the budget, and we've got to beat the bushes for members because we need to grow. And so growth financially and through membership is the main issue that I see.
Okay,
and I will give the mic to my friend Patrick.
All right, Mr. Sheehan.
Paybacks, right? He'll always get me. Thank you. I think what I would say is motivation, personal responsibility are the two things that we need to develop. You know, we got here, I think a lot of us, by hard work. That's the personal responsibility part. The motivation part, as I said earlier, comes from people that can articulate that vision. A John F. Kennedy type, if you're from Massachusetts, who can articulate a vision and make you want to work hard. We're all going to work hard. We need the funding, like David says. That's true. But you need the personal responsibility to say, you know, we want to give something back to this organization because it gave it to us. And then you need the motivation to be able to say, you know, I think I can do this. We can do whatever we need to do as long as we have the will and desire to do that. That will and desire comes from inside, and maybe some of the members of the board can help to inspire people to do the hard work of ACB. It's good work.
but it's hard work.
Thank you. Mr. Peterson.
Thank you, Richard, for the question. I believe I agree much with my colleagues have said about this question. Membership is critical. We need to be pertinent to the to people who are blind and sight impaired. We need to reach out to them. We know we need to market our organization and fundraise. Fundraise, you know, is critical. It's probably the greatest vulnerability. Yeah, we know we can't deficit spend forever. We need a plan so we know that our financial future is secure. And we need members. We need to be pertinent, and we need to have a strong message to people, potential members. So without those, we're kind of dead in the water.
Thank you. Okay. Ms. Frederick.
Thank you for the question. I agree as well that membership and financial issues are of great importance, but I think ACB needs to not be afraid to embrace change and to try new things. And if something doesn't work the first time, or the first, maybe you give it two or three times, then let's go back to the drawing board and try something new. I believe that if this organization is afraid to step out of, I mean, no one likes change. It is scary, and it's a risk-taking measure, but I believe it is necessary to change, to affect the organization for the better.
Thank you. And Mr. Holliday.
Yes, just like I stated in my first answer on reference to the first question, membership and fundraising is fundamental. I feel that every member of this organization, when we have a convention, can work on inviting someone to our convention, or your state convention, or your local chapter meeting. Each and every one of us have to put forth an effort to find ways to increase membership. And by increasing membership, you'll be able to work on fundraising. So having those two work together would be a great task to achieve.
Thank you. Before we close tonight, I have one final opportunity I'm going to give all of you, all eight of you. So if you want to start passing the microphone down, we're going to start with Mr. Mitchell and go that direction. You have all made the choice. You've made the decision to step out and take a leadership role and run for one of these positions. And we certainly thank all of you for your willingness to want to do so. And as a result of that, I'm sure you've all thought about why it is you want to do that and what you can bring to the position that you're seeking. So I'd like to give each of you 30 seconds to tell us any last final thing you would like us to know as we are considering voting for our various positions tomorrow morning in convention. One thing that maybe you haven't told us yet about yourself.
Well, Denise, and also to you out there listening on the ACB radio and to the rest of you in the audience, I am a man who takes commitment very seriously. And so, therefore, when I commit to do something, I generally have thought it out and given it a great deal of thought. I commit to you that, barring health reasons, I will be here for the next 2 years.
Thank you. Judy.
I joined this organization when I was 18. I don't want these organizations to die. Nonprofits are having a terrible time these days. We all need to do everything we can possibly do to advance organizations and to make sure we move into the 21st century. I don't know that I know how to do that, but I'm not going away. I'm going to keep staying here and fighting on.
Thank you. Doug.
I love being an active member of a team, working together to solve problems and thinking through systems thinking so that we can develop not the quick answer, but an answer that's going to work over time. And so that's what I bring to the Board of Publications, and I hope to continue to do that.
Thank you. George.
Thank you. I became an officer or chair of a committee in this organization, not just ACB, but locally, in 1998. And from that day on, I worked hand in hand with individuals as a team to achieve the efforts of the organization.
Thank you. Katie.
I first learned about ACB in high school. I began reading the Braille Forum, and I also read the Braille Monitor. And I discovered that what I saw in ACB with its democratic processes and its method of openness and welcomingness made me want to join and be part of such an organization. And I look forward to many more years of being involved with such a fantastic organization and to improve the lives of those who are blind or visually impaired.
Thank you. David.
I grew up in a residential school environment, and we lived in a family life. We took the term brother and sister to heart. And when I came into ACB, I brought that feeling with me, and I'm committed to ACB, the family of ACB. And I feel like that I owe the family the best of my ability and if I have the resources available.
Thank you. Patrick.
Thank you very much for letting me speak to you tonight. I think there's two words that I would say. As a board member, my job is service. Service to the organization, service to the affiliates, and it would be a privilege to serve all of you. Secondly, my job is to create a win-win situation. Win-win situation between the national organization and the affiliates and the other way back. If you can create a win-win situation within ACB, I think everyone's going to be one step ahead of where we are now. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And Alan.
Thank you. Yes, a little bit about who I am. I was raised on a dairy farm in western Minnesota. And in that environment, community is everything. The neighbors knew everybody, and we worked together. And that is so important to what we are doing here today. In ECB, and I've been a member of the of Alliance Club for 27 years, and their motto is "We Serve," and that is really, I believe, what we need to do. I'm a spiritual person, a member, very active member of my church, and that's where I'm coming from. Thank you.
Great, thank you. Let's acknowledge all of these candidates for their thoughtful answers. They all have had great things to share. Please remember tomorrow morning that you must have your badge to vote. You must have your dot. And I really want to acknowledge and thank our candidates who stepped up to the plate at the last minute, realizing that we really did want to come forward with a full slate. And I think that shows a lot of ingenuity and leadership on their part. The Board of Publications is interested in knowing your thoughts about this forum platform tonight. If you have any thoughts, if you have any feedback, things you'd like to see us do differently next year, please be sure and let us know. And Ron, do you have any final comments?
Well, just a last word again to thank all of you. Thank you for taking the time. Thank you for being willing to run, to answer our questions, to answer the questions of our audience and our ACB radio audience. And thank you in advance for those of you who are elected, for the work that you're going to do on behalf of this organization and on behalf of all of us. I look forward to tomorrow. I think it's going to be a very entertaining business meeting, if not a little long. And I think it's going to be great to see how these elections and all the other business plays out. So, again, thank you, and thank you, everybody, for coming. And I will give this back to Denise.
Thank you, Ron. And, again, thank you all for participating, both here in the audience and out there on ACB Radio. Again, my name is Denise Colley, Chair of the Board of Publications of the American Council of the Blind. Good night and be safe.